Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I figured out a way. We were at the marriage retreat. My grandson Judah was there at the retreat the first night. And they didn't tell me this until after. I did not notice it until afterwards. But apparently the night that he was there, they had pizza cut up for him. And if they fed him, they fed him pizza. So he's listening to me preach while he's eating pizza in the very back. And so they said he'd stop every now and then and just clap for me while I was speaking. So I said, when I got home yesterday, I said, well, that's it. I'm going to give everybody pizza while I'm preaching. Everyone will just stop and clap for me while it's going on. I figured that would work. We'll pack the church out one way or another. All right. Anyhow, Hebrews chapter 3. That's sort of the motto of most churches today. It doesn't matter how you do it, just pack it. All right. Hebrews chapter 3. Starting in verse 7, read down into chapter 4 a little bit here. I'm just going to be drawing some principles out of here. This is not going to be a textual or expository out of this, but I'm going to draw the principle that we do see here. Anyhow, Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will, hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now he's referring back. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear to my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You're going to see this phrase repeated, of course, as we've already listed it several times, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now he continues with chapter 4 as a result of this. Let us therefore fear, Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do not enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in therein, they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 11, real quick. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let's go ahead and pray. And Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. Lord, we certainly do need your blessing and your help, Lord, on the message tonight. I pray that you'd work. Here we are, the first Sunday of 2019. And Lord, you know what the year has in store for us. And Lord, what I do is I beg you for your help in our church and that we would draw closer to you. Lord, that we'd be a light here in Anchorage, that you would use us as you see fit, that we'd glorify and honor you in what we do and say. And Lord, so as we start off this new year, I pray your blessing upon your word. I pray that I know it's completely in vain unless you work. Lord, you know all the needs and the thoughts and intents of the hearts that are here right now. And Lord, so I beg you for your help in this, Lord. I love you, and I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, I'm going to use this as a springboard. There's certain principles that are brought out here in this text, and there's a whole lot in this text. It would actually take quite a while to go into all of it. The point that I want to grab out of this today is the phrase that was used several times, harden not your hearts. And he gave the examples of what he was meaning by that, how there was a lack of faith. There was an unbelief that was present. Even though God's word was there, even though they heard truth, they knew what was right, there was still an unbelief that was present. And there was a hardening of the heart. So the Word of God, even though it's powerful, it can be a sword, it can be a light, it can be a hammer, it can be a fire, it wasn't profiting them. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. There was a hardening of the hearts. The fact is, if the Word of God is going to help you, you can't harden your heart to it. It's not a magic book. And the Lord allowed them, and he gave the example of those in the wilderness of what had happened in the past and how they had hardened their heart, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, and that generation died out in the wilderness over a 40-year time frame. They should have been total in that wilderness. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's less than a year. That's it. They should have been in the promised land in less than a year, but that never took place. An entire generation died out. And so it dealt with in the text, and I think this, I want to tie this into the new year. What's interesting about from Hebrews chapter 3 to where I read in Hebrews chapter 4 is how he draws out different principles. He dealt with something from the past, and then he dealt with something that was coming in the future with the rest. And then he tied it in with where you're living at right now. So that's what I'm going to do as we start off this new year in relation to the Word of God, is take a look at how the past should help us this year. How the future should help us this year, and realize we have to live in 2019. It's where we're at. We can't live in either of those other worlds. We still have to live right here in 2019 because that's where we're at. Again, a new year represents a new beginning. It's a fresh time. I think I have here. Let me see if I do. It's a time when many people like to do some resolutions. They want to see some things changed. Whether that's you're going to start. You know, changing, weight, or you're going to start, being more disciplined in certain areas. That's a good thing. I think resolutions are a good idea. I think it's always good to examine yourself and see where you're at and see, all right, Lord, what should I change? What do I need to do different? And then be resolute about that. In the history of Christianity, I think one of the men who's most known for his resolutions is Jonathan Edwards. This is going back to the 18th century. And I actually have them all here with me. I just highlighted about 9 or 10 of his resolutions. And they were incredible. There's, I don't remember how many there's altogether. Is it 60-some resolutions I believe he had? But I've highlighted some of them here. And all of them really are amazing. I'm going to go through about 9 or 10 of what he resolved to do. He said, I resolve to live with all my might while I do live. He resolved to do all that he could to the glory of God. He resolved always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. He resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. He resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. He resolved to inquire every night when going to bed, wherein he was negligent, what sin he have committed, and wherein could I have denied myself? He resolved never to do anything out of revenge. He resolved never to speak evil of anyone so that it should tend to his dishonor. And there's several. I mean, this just goes on and on and on. I just highlighted, like I said, 9 or 10. Here's the last one that I'll give right here. He resolved to maintain the strictest temperance, eating and drinking. It gets into prayer too. The things he resolved about his prayer life, that goes on and on. But the resolutions are good. There's certain things that you should examine. Begin to examine your character. He broke those down into different parts of life and what he needed to be resolute about. And so as the new year begins, I think it is important. Maybe examine your own life and see where you're at. What resolutions need to be made? What changes need to be done? It starts with that decision. Then, of course, you have to put that into action. You know, it's kind of funny. I would imagine, though, at the YMCA, it's going to be packed all week. And probably by January 15th, it's going to be back to empty. You have to put those things in place. You have to make the effort with it. So this new year, again, represents a new beginning, a time for change. And so what I want to do with these verses right here in Hebrews chapter 11 is try and give us some help for this next year to try and do what's right. So that we can see that by this time in January of 2020, if the Lord hasn't come back yet, we're stronger than what we were. To determine to make this year different. So let's start this off here. One thing we have to do is we have to learn from the past. In Hebrews chapter 3, what he was drawing from for us was taking an illustration from the past that we could learn from. And the fact is, we do have to learn from our past. You don't live in the past, you learn from the past. If you are going to live in the past, you're never going to go forward with anything. You're going to be stuck right where you're at. If your past is filled with failure, certainly don't believe that's all you will do is fail. Failure happens. Don't let regret, don't let bitterness, don't let these different things destroy this new year in your life. You determine, be resolute that you're not going to live in the past. If your past is filled with victories, that too can also hinder you. You can think, I got this now, success is mine. That didn't work out so well once they defeated Jericho and went on to Ai. We have to learn from our past and not to live in it. Let me focus on that here just for a few minutes. Look over in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Again, please, number one, do not think if you failed in the past that the Lord will not use you. Do you understand that? He remembers you're but dust, Psalm 103. His mercies and his compassions are new every morning. If you're still breathing, if the Lord hasn't taken you yet, He'll still use your life. He's great at taking those broken vessels and fixing them. It's what He specializes in. Again, learn from the past. Don't live in it. Learn from your past victories. Those things that did help you be a success, maybe in 2018 or in previous years, certainly learn from them. You know, look back on it and see, okay, what led to that? Why did that take place? And try and keep those things in your life. Institute a measure of discipline to see, all right, what did the Lord bless? What was it that He was using that worked? And then continue that. Don't stop it. Again, what Israel did, don't think he had so many victories that is enough either. That's a hindrance. Israel did that when they finally did make it into the promised land, the next generation. One of the problems they had was this. They went in and they're doing exactly what the Lord told them to do, and they were having great success, exactly as the Lord promised. But they never finished the job. They didn't finish it. Don't get complacent when you see the Lord giving different victories and blessings in your life that you think that's enough. Continue going forward until the day He decides to take you home. Again, don't sit back and just simply bask in previous success. You press until Jesus returns. See, what that can do is, if you have past victories, another way it can hinder you in 2019 is if you think you got this. You're not going to be as sober-minded, and you're going to need that. The fact is, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You still have to be sober-minded. He's very liable to play that mind game on you to think, you know what, you got this now. Look at how well 2018, 2017, 2016 went, you got this now. And you're not nearly as sober-minded. And of course, you learn from your past failures. You should examine those as well and avoid what caused them. Take a look at them and see what you need to change as a result of failure. Make the changes that are necessary. Again, the problem is many people allow past failures to prevent them from moving forward. Imagine if Peter did that. He could have. He had some pretty good failures. But he didn't let that hinder him. I mean, there's different examples throughout all of history. Think of Abraham Lincoln, who basically never won an election until he won the presidency. Ran and ran and ran and never won. The Macy's store that became so popular, especially during the 20th century, failed 7 times before it finally took off. Babe Ruth, one of the greatest hitters, he struck out 1,330 times. That's a lot. But you learn from past failures. You learn from them. Again, for those regulars here, for our members, you've heard the story I'm not going to go to. The very first time I preached was a complete failure. I had to choose to learn from that and not live in that failure. We need to learn from our past and not live in it. Much of our success is based on our ability to be able to learn and recover from failure. And help from that is even, of course, learning from the people in Scripture, as it points out in Hebrews chapter 3. Learn how Israel did fail. Learn from their past. See how it can affect your life. You know, you can see how you can see examples of this with different people in Scripture. When David was getting ready to face Goliath, he learned from his past. That's what he draws out. He draws out, for him it was previous victories and how he's seen God work. And so he recognized God's ability to do that when he faced Goliath. He was drawing from his past and he was learning from it. So when it comes to your past, it certainly is important. I don't think you should forget about it. I think you should learn from it. I don't think you should live there. Again, if you're going to live in your past, you're never going to go forward. And that's true of victories or failures. The devil's good at getting people to hinder them from going forward with both of those. But then next, we have to think of our future. Not only do we have to learn from our past, but we have to long for our future. And of course, in our text, it referred to our future as the rest that is to come. The fact is, one day this will all be over with. 2019 very well could be the year the Lord returns. The very year that what we see taking place, and starting in around 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, that talks about the rapture. And it finishes in verse 13 that talks about how we have a hope that this just isn't it. We know what's coming. So we have a hope in our future. We have a hope in knowing, as Jesus Christ talked about in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Really, we can start in verse 1 from John chapter 14, 1, 2, and 3. I mean, he's going to prepare a place for us. He is going to receive us unto himself. That's going to occur. That's the future we have. Too often we see that too abstract and not as a reality. But it is. I mean, just take time to think what our eternal home is going to be like. Streets of gold. You're not going to need a lock on your door. You're not going to need to have your car warm up for 35 minutes before you get in it. You're not going to walk out and just hurt when you walk outside. That sin will all be gone when we're there. Because we do have hope in the return of Jesus Christ. And it's great to know that one day, right on this earth, he will rule and reign right there on this earth. Isn't that amazing? We see all the corrupt governments and all that's taking place and the new Speaker of the House, and you just want him to return. So can we start this now? Of course, that's selfish. The reality is we want to see more and more come to know Christ. We also have, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about this vile earthen vessel that we have, one day will be changed with an incorruptible one. Philippians chapter 3 talks about that, this vile body that will be changed into that glorious body one day. That's the hope. I mean, right now I got to have reading glasses on, and just getting more and more frequent with the reading glasses. Before it was primarily mornings and evenings. Now it's just about all the time right now. I can just about count all the hairs on my head. I'm just covering it up well right now. You know, things change. It gets, you know, you can tell that sin takes its course on a body. Aging is a result of sin. That's what it is. And we feel it. But one day that'll all be over with. There won't be another ache or pain, anything like that. It'll all be done. We'll have a new glorified body on a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, that's not a little kid's fairy tale. Do you understand that? This is from the Creator Almighty. This is how he's designed this to take place. I mean, I think about what that's going to be like when that moment occurs when you have that new body. I mean, we think now, as we read in accounts in Scripture, when like in John chapter 9, when the blind man's given sight, or what is it, in Acts chapter 5 or Acts chapter 3, when the lame man walks again. I mean, and they're just jumping up and down. They've never experienced this before. I mean, all of a sudden they have this ability that's never existed. I mean, to go from complete blindness from birth to sight. It would be overwhelming. It would be incredible. I mean, to see that, but think what it's going to, when we get a new body, it's just going to be amazing. And of course, we also have the great hope in all of this that there will be sin no more. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 58. Sin will be no more. I certainly cannot wait for my sin nature to be completely destroyed. There will be no more disappointments. You're not going to be up at night, you know, worrying about a wayward child. That's all going to be over with. Those days will all be past. There'll be no more battles in the mind. The hurt from sin, that's all going to be over with. That'll all end. And so that's the hope we have in the future. If you remove that, again, you're liable to allow despair to come into your life. Because we still live in a sin-cursed earth. That's where we're at. Again, because of all the hope we have, it should affect how we live our life different than how the world lives. We see that, of course, in 1 John chapter 3. If anybody on this planet should not go around groaning and complaining, it's us. Because of the future that we have. You see, for multitudes, the greatest heaven they're going to know is just this earth. They have reason to groan and complain. What we have for those who have been redeemed is incredible. But at the same time, just like in the past, you can't live in the future. You have to hope in the future. You just don't sit around waiting for that future to come. You hope in that future. You use that future to motivate you for what you're doing right now. Which brings me to the last point about living in the present. Again, we all have a past, whether it's filled with victories and defeats. I'm sure it's a mixture for all of us. We all have a great future if you know the Lord. But the fact is, we still have to live right here in 2019. This is where we live. The future, that's not here yet. It certainly is coming. We don't want to live in the past and not go forward. But we kind of want to do what he concluded there in Hebrews chapter 4 when he was putting it all together about what happened in the past, about what's coming in the future, when he said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. He's saying, all right, we know this is true, so let's start working. Let's start doing what's right. Let's start putting things in place that really will matter in life. You have to live in the present. Too often, we want to wait until certain things are in order. Well, once I have this in place, once I know this, then I can press forward with my walk with God. That day's never going to come. They say the busiest day of the year is the day after Thanksgiving. And there's no way that's true. The busiest day of the year is Sunday. That's the busiest day of the year. That's when everything's going to get done. Whenever that day ever hits, it's going to be a really, really busy day. But the fact is, God expects you to be working right where you're at. You know, and that's true. The fact is, the Christian life does take some labor. Everything's just not automatic with it. You know, there's some discipline to saying, you know what, I do want this year to be different. I'm going to be faithful. I want to draw closer to God. So I'm going to stay faithful to my Bible reading and to my prayer time. And when I do them, I'm going to do them right. I'm actually going to read to meditate. I'm actually going to pray and seek the Lord. And not just go through motions. There's some labor involved in that. There's some discipline involved in that. Again, things don't just happen. Because God called you to them. When I arrived in PNG, I knew I had to plant churches. I discovered very quickly they just don't pop up. There's labor involved in it. Fact is, we need to get busy for God now. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not. When you stand before the Lord, that day is coming. The judgment seat of Christ is coming. He is going to look at what you did for Him and why you did it. And the fact is, as far as you know right now, today is the only day you have to serve God. That is it. You know, I like one of Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. I liked a lot of them, of course. But the one where he had mentioned that I'm not going to be afraid to do anything if I would do it if it was the last hour of my life. I see the point he was driving at. The fact is, today is the only day you're promised to serve God. Again, you might have great plans for God in the future, and I'm not against planning, but you better follow up that and ask yourself, what have you done today? And so if you're going to do that, you've got to have the right priorities today. The devil's great at getting you to substitute good things for what's best. And so you have to learn to prioritize. You have to learn to put things in order. In other words, so how do I prioritize? It's not rocket science. It's not. It's following Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You allow God to be the first priority in your life, that he's what you're seeking. You put the things that are important in place. It's kind of like the illustration. I don't know if I've given this before. There was a teacher who was known for this illustration. I can't remember where it was right now. And he put a jar out before his class. I think it was middle school. And he had put some big stones in it. And he'd asked the class if the jar was full. And they said, yes, it is. And he said, really? And he pulled out some small gravel. And he began to pour small gravel in it and shake it, and you know, until it was filled up. And then he asked him again. They said, is the jar full now? And now by this time they understood probably where he was going. And they said, no. And then he pulls out sand. He pulls out some sand. He starts to pour sand in there. And he shakes it and he gets it all down. And then he asks the class, is the jar full? And they all said now, no. And then he gets out water. And he begins to pour water in slowly until it was just filled to the brim. And now he said, now the jar is full. And he'd ask the class, what lesson do they learn from this? And one kid spoke up, it doesn't matter how busy your schedule is, you can always add something to it. And he said, no, that's not the point of this at all. That's not what I was doing. And he said, the point is this. He said, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in. You have to figure out what the big rocks are in your life. Because if you're too busy playing with that gravel and the sand, that's not going to matter to much. You have to prioritize what's important in life. Then you make your decisions based on that. And why it's easy is this, is because we know the number one priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So 2019, you allow your decisions to be based to that end. All right, what is it that I need to change or I need to do that would glorify God, where I am actually seeking him? Just saying, Lord, all right, what do you want with my life? What should I be doing? And again, don't think of just something in the future. That's a hope there. But right now, what should I be doing? And then you know what? You begin to take that a day at a time. Determining each day, all right, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the changes in place. I'm going to do right. And so as we start off 2019, you know, determine to allow Matthew 6:33 to guide you. Learn from your past. Don't live in it. Learn from it. Failures happen. Learn from it. Don't think because you had a great last year that you're good to know, you're good to go now. You don't have anything else to do. Press forward. Move on. And then as we're going through this world, keep in mind the hope that we do have. The rest is coming. Because we can grow weary in well-doing, but we have a hope in a future that motivates us. And then we live right now in the present, serving God, serving him and pressing forward with heads bowed and eyes closed.